I now can sing since I've been redeemed.
I'm on the everlasting rock.
I faith in Christ, my Redeemer King.
I'm on the everlasting rock.
This is the voice of hope.
Then roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock of ages. Roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock.
Suffering. No one likes it, but everyone experiences it in some way or another during his or her lifetime. And for Christians, the Bible tells us that all who live a godly life will, not might and not could, but will suffer persecution. It's almost like a guarantee. Hello, friend, and welcome to the Voice of Hope. I'm J. Mark Horst, your host, and I'm so glad you've joined me today. I hope you'll stay with us for the next half hour, as together we build up our hope in God and in His Word. That's why we come to you each week with the Voice of Hope. Our whole ministry, at home and around the world, is grounded on our confidence in God's Word. Heralds of Hope began in the year 1968 with one weekly broadcast on one station. Today, 50 years later, we're still proclaiming the gospel. Only now, it's to millions around the world in 16 major languages. Do you know who gets the credit for that? God does. God and His people. We're convinced, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that it was and is the faithful proclamation of the Word of God that has caused His blessing to rest upon this ministry. And when we open the Word of God under the direction of the Holy Spirit, God has promised to speak to us. Amen.
The Lord is in His holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before Him. Keep silence. Keep silence. Keep silence.
In our scripture lesson for today, Dr. Yoder will speak to us from 1 Peter chapter 4 and verses 12 to 19. His message is titled, Don't Be Ashamed to Suffer Trials.
From the record, we learn that Christians from the very beginning have suffered in varying degrees. The apostles, right after the church was founded on the day of Pentecost, suffered. They were beaten. They were put in prison. According to the record, all of the apostles suffered martyrdom except the apostle John. In fact, the Roman emperor, Nero, fed the Christians to lions in the Colosseum at Rome and used them as lamps in his garden at night. They would put those Christians into animal skins and soak the animal skins with a flammable material and set it on fire and impale them throughout the garden. I have in my library a book called Martyr's Mirror, compiled by a Dutchman some years ago. It contains 1,157 pages and tells the horror stories of martyrs from the time of Christ unto 1660. Well, even today, Christians in some lands suffer severely. We must learn from God what suffering means. My message is entitled, Don't Be Ashamed to Suffer Trials, and I'm reading now from 1 Peter 4, 12-19. I hope you have your Bible open and can follow me. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing, as unto a faithful Creator. Praise God. Now, friend, I submit that Peter gives us certain bottom-line reasons why we ought not to be ashamed to suffer trials. The first reason is, trials are to be expected. He begins this paragraph by saying, it's not strange, it's not a strange thing at all. Trials are to be expected. It is not unusual that Christians suffer. Our enemy Satan sees to that. The Apostle Paul speaks about the fiery darts of the wicked one. The Christian life is beset with trials, my friend. We need not ask the question, why did it happen to me? Because in walking the Christian way, we must expect opposition from the archenemy of God, Satan. Now, in the suffering, we should also notice that there's an identity with Christ. For when we suffer because we're Christians, Peter informs us, we are partaking of Christ's sufferings. We shall also be enjoying his glory. We shall be partakers of his glory, and that with exceeding joy. Christ did suffer. Yes, he did. Let me read for you Hebrews 12:2, which demonstrates this and explains it. Here it is. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Did you notice? Because of the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross and despised the shame. So the Apostle Peter instructs us that we, when we suffer, we can therefore also expect to share in the glory of Christ. Then our joy will be full. I'm still reveling in that verse in 1 Peter, 1st chapter, verse 8, where Peter wrote like this, Whom having not seen, ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Blessedness comes in suffering. Now notice verse 14. For the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you, Peter tells us. They who create the suffering, they who cause the suffering, speak evil of Christ. But the suffering Christian partakes of Christ's glory. We do not want to suffer, but we should not rebel against God. We need to expect the suffering of trials. This is a part of the Christian life. The second reason is, trials are to be directed. Crimes deserve suffering. The Apostle Peter makes no bones about that, we might say. He said, one should expect to suffer if he is a murderer, because murder is wrong. One should expect to suffer if he's a thief, because thievery is wrong. One should expect to suffer if he's an evildoer or a wicked person, because wickedness is wrong. One should expect to suffer if he's a busybody in other men's matters, because snooping is wrong. A snooper should expect to suffer. You see, these four categories deserve justice, so crime deserves suffering. In fact, we now know from our penal system that when justice languishes, crime increases. So the Apostle Peter says, don't suffer for these justly condemnatory acts. A Christian doesn't suffer like that. But a Christian may suffer. He may suffer as a Christian. Christians don't deserve suffering, but they may suffer just the same. They suffer unjustly. And the Apostle says, don't be ashamed if you suffer as a Christian. Right now, I'm thinking of that thief on the cross with Jesus. There were two thieves crucified with Jesus, you remember? One of them railed on Jesus and said, if thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. And the other one said, do you not fear God? We are suffering justly, but this man has done nothing amiss. So you see, the thief on the cross understood that thievery requires justice. But Peter tells us that suffering is no occasion to be ashamed. If you suffer as a Christian, glorify God. Now, friend, as I was preparing this message, I held in my hand a letter from a young man in Ethiopia. He wrote me a letter 9 years ago in 1982, and he told me then that he was a prisoner. He was in prison because he was a Christian. The guard told him a number of times that if he would recant his Christian faith, that is, if he would deny it, he'd set him free. But you know, he never denied it. Now he's writing to me again. He's still in prison. He changed his address and wants to hear from me. Suffering. We do not seek suffering, but when it comes, let us make sure it is directed toward our service to Christ, and we suffer unjustly, not justly. The third reason is, trials are to be projected. There are three projections toward which the trial should be aimed. First is toward the judgment to come. Peter says it will come. In fact, he says it's now here. The judgment must begin, and he says, at the house of God. It is to begin at the house of God. Those who are nearest to God, that's where it will begin. Then he raises the question, if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? He doesn't enter into a long discussion as to what this judgment is, but we may assume that when it begins at the house of God, then true believers will be justified because they believe in Christ. But what about those who obey not the gospel? What about those who are away from Christ? That's the burden that rests on my heart now. In your regard, are you with the house of God, or are you among those who obey not the gospel? Trials are to be projected toward the judgment to come, and toward the salvation of the righteous. Peter raises another question. If the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Scarcely be saved, and that salvation is through no effort of their own. The only thing that anyone can do is believe on what God has provided in Jesus Christ. Of course, that means that life should correspond with it, as I was speaking a couple of weeks ago. But the human nature is inclined away from God. You know, I was just thinking recently, again, of how sin makes people hide. That's what Adam did, you remember? He was afraid of God and hid himself after he had sinned. So if the righteous scarcely be saved, there is little hope. No, there is no hope for the ungodly and the sinner. Trials are to be projected toward the salvation of the righteous, and finally, toward the will of God. So when we suffer, or any other Christian suffers according to the will of God, then we can commit ourselves to Him, commit the soul to God. That's what Jesus did on the cross. He said, Father, into thy hand I commit my spirit. He was willing to give it all. Give it all. So when Satan comes, project that suffering toward the will of God. We do not draw back from suffering, but when it comes, let us project it to the will and glory of God. So if suffering comes to you, don't be ashamed. Remember, trials are to be expected because our walk is different. Trials are to be directed so as to avoid evil and unjust suffering. Trials are to be projected to the final date of God, who is a faithful creator and preserver. Let's pray. Mighty Lord, merciful Heavenly Father, gracious Redeemer, oh, how we thank Thee that no matter how difficult life may become, we can rest in Thee, O Lord, and Thou wilt not let the trials overtake us when we trust in Thee. We know the enemy constantly has designs upon us, but, Father, I pray that my friend and I may know how to find our refuge in the mighty power of God. Trials will come. We know we must expect them. Help us to direct them so we will not suffer justly. Help us to project them to the glory of God. And I pray in the mighty and precious name of Jesus, Thy Son, our Savior. Amen.
Thank you, Dr. Yoder, for that very practical teaching. You know, friend, our brothers and sisters in other parts of the world can teach us much about the subject of suffering. Not long ago, we received a report from Transworld Radio on our Hausa language broadcasts to northern Nigeria. It was a report of the responses that came from March through August of this year, 2018. Our Hausa broadcast is 15 minutes in length, and it airs just once each week. So for the six-month period, that makes just 23 individual programs aired. Now remember, northern Nigeria is the home of Boko Haram, and also the rampaging Fulani tribal herdsmen. Whole villages have been destroyed by these marauders, and the population chased off into the bush. And Christians have been specifically targeted for the violence. Many have lost their lives, and many have suffered life-changing injuries, both physically and emotionally. And each week, our 15-minute broadcast reaches into this volatile area of the world. Do you want to know how many responses were received during these 6 months? 6,406. And the overwhelming majority of those responses were either by phone call or text message. That's more than 275 responses to each 15-minute broadcast. That's astounding. I want to share a few of those responses with you. One writes, "I am your regular listener, though I am a Muslim, but I am enjoying the truth you are preaching. Thank you. Pray for me, too." And here's another. "I am your regular listener. Please, I want to know how to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior because of your teachings. I truly need the salvation of God through Jesus Christ." And one more yet. "You are doing a wonderful work. I am learning so much from this program, so as also to teach my church. Thank you very much." Those are wonderful testimonies, my friend. God is at work. And that last one is especially meaningful. The listener stated that he uses what he learns from the broadcast to teach the members in his church. Praise God. Here are the Sharon Singers with a song of faith and confidence, especially as we think about suffering. Thank you, choir. Now, if you'd like to learn more about how you can minister to our suffering brothers and sisters around the world, write to us. We'd be happy to help you learn more about their needs. There are a variety of worthy organizations that offer practical assistance to suffering believers. But right now, let's take a moment to pray for them. Heavenly Father, we lift our brothers and sisters to you in their suffering. Grant them courage and strength to endure whatever you allow into their lives. Help them to sense our prayers on their behalf. And use their godly responses to bring Holy Spirit conviction into the lives of their persecutors. And Father, help us understand our biblical obligation to support them with our prayers and our gifts. This I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, according to Hebrews 13:3, we have a scriptural responsibility to do what we can to identify with and assist our suffering brothers and sisters. To learn more about how you can help, write to us and ask for additional information. To request more information on the persecuted church, simply send an email to hope@heraldsofhope.org, or you may call us toll-free at 1-866-960-0292. Or you may write to the Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. And if you'd like a printed copy of today's teaching, I'm glad to inform you that this whole series has been reprinted in an attractive paperback book. The teaching you heard today, as well as all the other messages in this series, are contained in the book titled Sojourners in Faith. To request your copy of Sojourners in Faith, send an email to hope@heraldsofhope.org or write to The Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Or pick up your phone and call us toll-free at 1-866-960-0292. We also invite you to visit our Facebook page, where you can see a daily prayer request, learn about upcoming events, or read an encouraging testimony. It's also an easy way for you to send a message to us, and we love to hear from our listeners. Now, if you'd like to help support this ministry financially, you can include a gift with your letter, or you can donate securely online at heraldsofhope.org, or by calling our toll-free number, 1-866-960-0292. And when you send your gift, ask for your copy of the book, Sojourners in Faith. Now we do depend upon God's grace and your fervent prayers, along with your generous financial support, to enable the Voice of Hope to be on the air until Jesus comes in the air. So let us hear from you today. Thanks for being with me, friend. Next time on The Voice of Hope, Lord willing, Dr. Yoder will present another message in our series from 1 Peter, Feed the Flock of God. So you plan to join me. And until then,
I will sing of my Redeemer and His wondrous love to me. On the cruel cross He suffered, from the curse to set me free. Sing, oh sing of my Redeemer, my Redeemer, with His blood He purchased me, on the cross He sealed my pardon, He sealed my pardon, He sealed my pardon, paid the debt. Sing of my Redeemer, with His blood He purchased me, on the cross He sealed my bars, He sealed my bars, He sealed my pardon, paid the debt. Son of God, with Him to be. Sing, oh sing, of my Redeemer, my Redeemer.